Amen. So we're going to start right off. Easter Sunday morning. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day rise. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the two most important days on the Christian calendar. Today we celebrate Jesus's victory over death and the fact that he is risen. He is risen. I want to focus on three things the resurrection reminds us of in our faith. And the first is that the resurrection gives us a picture of what happened in our spiritual lives. Now, in our culture, we take more pictures than ever before, right? We take more pictures than ever before, but we lack physical pictures, right? Many of you don't print out your pictures. All your pictures are on your phone, right? Recently, we've been cleaning out our attic, and after going through all the things that we collected over 26 years of marriage, 22 years of raising parenting, but something happened right around 2009, 2010. What happened was, things radically changed for us because we got what we call a smartphone, right? We were a little late to the game because smartphones were very expensive at first, right? So in 2009, 2010, things radically changed for us because what happened is all of our pictures were now on our phone or in the cloud. So before that time, all of our pictures we took on a film camera and developed them, or we took on our digital camera and printed them out because we didn't have them. And this is a funny story, actually. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there was a trend going on a little while ago, I don't know if it's still going on, where like college age and older high school kids were buying those disposable cameras for like $40 and taking pictures. And the sentiment was, they said, it's exciting because you don't know how the pictures are gonna come out. It's like, that was our life, okay? So basically what happened is when we looked at all of our pictures, we realized that about 50% of every roll of film that were developed were bad, out of focus, eyes closed, taken too early, taken too late. We did ourselves the favor of ordering doubles. Did you do that? And when you put them in the photo album, you put the double behind it, so the photo album's that much heavier. So over the last year, we did something very difficult. Some of you are going to be horrified by this. We threw pictures away. Have you ever done that before? It's weird to take a picture of yourself and chuck it in the trash. What if somebody sees it in the garbage dump? Okay, I don't think that's going to happen. So the truth is this, though. Pictures serve as reminders. In fact, sometimes seeing pictures spark things that you might have forgotten totally. I know while I was going through some pictures, I came across pictures that I was like, I don't remember this at all. I don't even remember that t-shirt that I was wearing. I don't remember anything about it. Other pictures jogged my memory. Oh yeah, I remember that. I like that. That was fun. That was a good day. Most of the time, pictures are a reminder of something good. A time that you were happy, a time of celebration because you broke out the camera and took a picture. The resurrection of Jesus is a clear picture of what happened in our lives when we trusted the gospel message. You see, we are all sinners. And because we're sinners, we need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave to prove that he is God. And Jesus said this, all who believe will have eternal life. You see, what happened is we moved from death to life. Just like today, we remember Jesus rose from the grave. He moved from death to life. The resurrection is a picture of how we moved from death to life. Spiritual death to spiritual life, the day that we trusted in Jesus. You see, you and I, we were dead in our sins, and that's what Ephesians tells us. It says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Before Christ, we were spiritually dead. And the resurrection of Jesus is a picture to remind us. I'm alive. I'm spiritually alive because of what Jesus did for me. So not only on Easter Sunday, but really every Sunday we come to worship. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Every Sunday we have this reminder. I was dead, but now I'm alive. In fact, I don't know if you realize this, but until the resurrection of Jesus, there was no worship on Sunday. That's why it says in the scripture, on the first day of the week, and us in our American mind say, it's not Monday, right? Because that's the first day of our week. On the first day of the week, Jesus rose from the grave. So as Christians, we worship on Sunday. And realistically, let's look at it as the first day of the week, because how would you start your week? Worshiping Jesus. So the resurrection gives us a picture of what happened to us spiritually. Next, the resurrection gives us promises. Gives us promises. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There are three things in regards to the promises of God in this passage. The first is God's great mercy. God's great mercy. Now, God is a merciful God, and mercy by definition means this: compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish. So we deserve to pay for our sins. And the payment we owe is to a holy and perfect God because we sinned against him. All sin is sin against God. All sin is sin against God and his standards. He is the one who has power over us. He is the one that we have to answer to. Do you know in our culture, a lot of people feel like, I don't answer to anybody. I answer to myself. I make my own rules. I do my own things. Well, the truth is, we all answer to God. Now, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead. Because God is merciful, he has compassion on us. He offers us forgiveness. But that forgiveness only comes through trusting in his son, Jesus. So for the spiritually alive, those of you who trust in Jesus, for the spiritually alive, when we're judged by our faith in Jesus. But those who have not trusted in Jesus, they're judged by the deeds that they have done. You get that? So when you pass from this earth, if you've trusted in Jesus, when you stand before him, you're judged by whether or not you had faith in Jesus. If you don't trust in Jesus, you're judged too, but it's by the things that you have done. It's by the deeds that you have done because you offended a holy and perfect God. The next promise of God in this passage is that we are born again. Now, I know born again is not a very positive thing in our culture, right? If you hear somebody say, I'm a born-again Christian, you're like, I don't know. Are they weird? Here's the thing. Born again simply means we are spiritually born. We're all physically born, but we were spiritually dead. When we trust in Jesus, we're spiritually born. We're born again. That's one of the promises. You will be born again. That's a promise that anyone who has believed in Christ can be sure of. But the final promise in this passage is this: we have a living hope through the resurrection. Well, what in the world does that mean? God being merciful and us being born again have to do with God's character and our position, but this last promise is something we can apply daily. We have hope, and that hope is living. You know, you might look around this world and say, it's kind of hopeless. What's wrong with people? Things are going nuts. I can't believe this world. What's going on here? I can't believe this election. I can't believe this. We say all these things, right? We observe all these things, and we say, where's the hope? Well, guess what? We have a living hope that we can practice and lean on every single day. So maybe you're struggling with a relationship with somebody. You're like, I don't know how this is going to work out. Well, guess what? You have a living hope. Maybe there's death in that relationship as far as things are not working out. Well, guess what? Look to Christ. There's a living hope. When you're dealing with a health issue and you're like, I can't believe I have to deal with this, or the prognosis stinks, I hate this. Well, guess what? You have a living hope. You need to focus your attention on Christ. When we have decisions to make, no matter what decision is, some people always look at it as like, oh, you know, I don't pray about that because like God has nothing to do with that. God has something to do with everything. Okay? He has something to do with everything. And you can have hope in him, and that hope is living. It works. Maybe things just don't go your way. Yeah, things never go my way. Things never go my way, right? Some of us say that. You have a living hope. Maybe you're changing jobs. You have a living hope. Maybe you lose someone you love. You have a living hope. Well, how do we know and claim that promise? The resurrection. Jesus was dead, but now he's alive. Can you imagine if you take yourself back to that time that Jesus was crucified and his followers, they followed him around for 3.5 years. They arrested Jesus, took him away, crucified him. Could you imagine the pit in your stomach that you would have if the one you were following around for 3.5 years, many of these people left everything to follow Jesus, taken away, crucified. Could you imagine the pit in your stomach that you've had, that you would have when that happened? Some of you can imagine that pit in your stomach because you've been in such a hopeless situation. You couldn't believe the situation you're in, and there's just a pit in your stomach. And then all of a sudden, something changes. Well, for the disciples and for us, it was the resurrection. The resurrection, Jesus is now alive. Could you imagine the joy? We know the joy. They were running and screaming and telling other people. 500 people saw Jesus, the risen Savior. See, when we look at situations and it seems like it's filled with hopelessness and death, we need to look for Jesus, look to Jesus for life and hope in the situation. But you know what? It's actually not only for this life, because we're just traveling through this life. The book of James actually says that the 80 years that we might live is like a mist in compared to eternity. So in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about that. He says, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. So, you know, the people that say religion is a crutch, things like that. Well, Paul is saying, yeah, you know what? If you're just using this to make yourself feel good today, you should be pitied, because that's foolishness. So he goes on. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. See, we have a promise of this living hope, and it culminates in our eternal life. This is what Jesus actually says. Jesus said to her when he was speaking with that woman, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That's us. Though we die, we shall live. Which brings us to the last point, and that is resurrection gives us a prototype. Now, a prototype is a model of something. And many theologians agree that Jesus' resurrected body was a prototype of the body that we will receive in glory. You know, some of you, like me, grew up on cartoons like Bugs Bunny and Popeye and things like that. And anytime there was pictures of heaven, it was a fat baby with a diaper on, right, floating around on a cloud playing a harp. You're like, that's heaven? Doesn't look good to me, okay? So here's the thing. That's not heaven, okay? That's cartoon depictions of what they think that heaven might be like. But in actuality, we'll be recognizable. We'll be ourselves, but we'll be different. We'll be changed. We'll be glorified. We'll be perfected. Remember, Jesus still bore the scars of his crucifixion when he went to Thomas. You know, aging and death, not to be negative, but aging and death are coming for us all. Okay, it's something we're not going to escape. There's not a person in this room that's over 40 years old that hasn't started to realize there's some limitations that come with age. I would always hear people say this before I turned 40. I would always hear people say this. Till I was 40, I could see perfectly. And all of a sudden, I hit 40 and I needed those readers that you buy at CVS. I was like, this is not going to happen to me. I already have bad eyesight. I wear contacts, but everything's good. I kid you not. The Sunday after I turned 40, I grabbed the Bible I used to preach from and I looked and I was like, whoa. And I'm in front of people now. Can't say anything because I'm too prideful, right? So here's the thing. Aging is coming for all of us. And even those of us that handle it the best, we realize we don't like it, okay? We don't like it. And just as a side note, a message for all you younger people, okay? Enjoy it. Don't waste your life playing video games and looking at your phone. Don't waste your life being out of shape. Don't waste your life being unhealthy. Don't waste your life not serving God and putting Him first. Don't waste your life not doing good. Your youth, guess what, is the closest you're going to get to that glorified body you will receive, okay? If you don't believe me, ask anybody over 40. They'll tell you, okay? Paul compares and contrasts our current body with the glorified body. He says this, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. So this is talking about the physical body on earth and then the imperishable glorified body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. While the Bible doesn't describe in detail the glorified bodies we will receive in heaven, we know they will be like that of Jesus' resurrected body. Our human bodies are described as perishable, dishonorable, and weak, all due to sin. Our glorified bodies will be imperishable, honorable, and powerful. Let's go on. It says this. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. That's Jesus. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural. Then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And is the man of heaven. So also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. As imperishable glorified bodies, we will no longer suffer sickness, death. We won't get hot. We won't be cold. Okay? Our new bodies will be honorable in that they will not be shamed or ashamed any longer. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were ashamed. We won't feel that any longer. Our earthly bodies are suited for this life on earth. Our resurrected bodies will be suited for life in eternity with Jesus. So the resurrection of Jesus gives us a picture of our spiritual lives, has promises, and it is a prototype of what is to come for us as believers. So I'm going to close this with this scripture from 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're so thankful that we could celebrate together as believers on the most important day of the history of the church. We pray, Lord, that now we focus in on our relationship with you and what your resurrection has so powerfully done in each one of our lives. I pray as we leave this place and spend time with family and friends or wherever this day might take us, I pray that your name is glorified. I pray that we speak words of truth to other people so they can understand and realize what we have through you. I'm so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here. And I pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.